It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's even better to be in the house of the Lord knowing that I have been born again, that I'm on the Lord's side, I'm on the winning side. I never like to lose, never. And that's why I'm thankful that I'm on God's side. I don't like to lose. When I was young, I ain't thought about this a long time. When I was young, I was on a bowling team. And I was with a group who didn't care if they won or lost. So I didn't stay. I put my heart in it. I wanted to win. And I'm going to tell you something that really used to break my heart. We played a mixed lead, three men, two women. And one team, I played every time. They put my name beside of this girl, and I never beat her. Oh, was that a hard pill to swallow. Glory to God. So I've never liked to lose. I'm glad tonight I'm on God's side. I'm on the winning side. I have a sermon, if I preached into depth, would take me way too long. But it's a privilege to me to be able to stand and to be able to help our pastor out. And as the brother said, we need to really hold our pastor up. This is really got to work on him hard. And unless you've been there, just being a pastor alone is a load to carry. So I know that his heart is here, so we need to really lift him up. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 95. I have 5 or 6 pages of an outline, so I really got to go probably quick and brief. And this may not be a shouted message. I don't know which way it's going to go. I'm just putting it in God's hands. My desire when I stand behind this sacred desk that I'll never preach anything out of harmony with the doctrine of the Church of God, that I never preach anything that will not meet our pastor's approval. And I can take it higher. I don't ever want to preach anything that won't meet God's approval. My desire is to preach truth, not to hurt, but to help. This is my heart. If you can and would, I'd like for you to stand with me as I read. Psalm 95, I'm going to begin in verse number 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I approach your great throne of mercy and of grace, it is with a heart of thanksgiving that I enter, Father, right into your presence. I've come tonight, Father, by faith. My dependency, Lord, is not on my abilities, my wisdom, or my knowledge, not on even on the notes that I have, but my dependency, Lord, is on you. And I know, Father, tonight, without your anointing this vessel of clay, there isn't anything I can say or do that will accomplish anything. But I'm asking you, Father, to give me the words that you would have me to share tonight in this service. I ask you, Lord, that you drive out of the sanctuary anything that would bind or hinder. I pray that there will be liberty in your house as I endeavor to share the things that you have given unto me. Bless us, Father, now anoint us for your glory. This I'm asking in Jesus' name. Amen. I was to minister on all of these verses, it would take a long time. So I'm not going to preach on all of them. I want to deal tonight with a subject that I think God has burned into my heart for the Thomasville Church of God. And that subject tonight is worship. So I'm going to deal mainly with verse 6 where it says, "Oh, come, let us worship." It is my heart's desire, and I pray daily that everybody that comes to this church will begin to have a greater, not knowledge, but a greater desire to enter into this house and to come to worship God. This should be the reason that we come. Can I tell you tonight? Worship. Worship is to the soul what rain is to the parched soul. You think about it in the summertime when the grass begins to be brown and it doesn't look too good. But when it rains on that ground, glory to God, it brings the water, it refreshes, and it makes alive again. Can I tell you tonight what worship will do for you? It will restore your joy. It will lift you up. It will bring you closer unto God. It will bless you in many, many ways. Worship provides food to the soul that hungers for a meaningful experience that is higher and better than what the world system offers. Can I tell you tonight, church, there's nothing the world can offer you that will bless you like the presence of an almighty God. And hear me tonight, church. If you stop feeding your natural body, you aren't going to last long. And I'm afraid too many churches tonight are drying up and they're dying because they're not feeding the spiritual man. And when you cease to feed him, he will dry up. I'm afraid that in too many churches today, we want it like everything else. We want it quick. And we want it now, and don't keep me too long. God help us to hunger, to enter into his house, to worship him. Glory to God. To forget about we're on a set time. Glory to God. I know that we're living in a different time, and I'm going to go slow. But you know what, beloved? This is what I used to tell my people when I pastored. You want church service short. You want a short sermon net because you want to get out. You don't want to stay and get the whole meal. And I said, wouldn't it be terrible when you go out to eat? They bring you the appetizer if you wanted, or a salad before your steak. They bring you a steak, and in the middle of your steak, they tell you, your time's up. You got to get up and leave. Think about it. This isn't in my outline. I'm going to follow the Spirit of the Lord. Would you not be a little disappointed? You're halfway. Your steak. And there's that dessert that you wanted. Can I tell you, beloved, it's time that we get a hunger, that we come to church and we worship God, that we not only eat the salad, we'll stick around and eat the steak. And when the steak's all gone, they can bring the dessert. We need a hunger. One more time, beloved. This is a Pentecostal church. We ought to come to worship God. We ought to come to lift up that name called Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We sing the song, "Love Lifted Me." I don't know anything about your life before Jesus came into your life. I know very little about you now, but you think about it. None of us was good. None of us was perfect. None of us were deserving. But love reached way down one day, and it lifted us up out of the muck and the mire of sin's bondage. And it washed us white as snow. He put our name in the book of life, and he promised one day we could hear that name called, and he would say to us, "Well done, glory to God." And yet we want to come to church, and we want church to hurry up and get over. Glory to God. God help us to fall in love with God over and over again. Worship God. Glory to God. Worship brings the presence of God. Worship strengthens us while it refreshes us. Can I tell you, church, there's nothing no better than to come into church tired, down, aching, have fought the devil all day. Glory to God. And yet when you begin to worship God and that Shekinah glory comes down, the Spirit of God not only will touch you spiritually, it'll touch you physically. And you can leave the house of God saying, it was so good to be in the house of God. I ask you tonight, why would you want to come into the house of God and go through a form? Kids don't play this way anymore. When I was little, my sister, I'm 2 years older than my sister, she had a little table with four chairs and a tea set. She and I sat, she put two dolls in two chairs, and I sat in a chair, and she sat. And she kept pouring us tea, and we kept drinking. You know what? We wasn't drinking anything. We were pretending. So I ask you tonight, why would we be content with going through a form, coming in church and soothing our conscience, say, I went to church, why not come to church and worship God? Let God come down, let God touch you, and let God bless you, hallelujah to God. When you go out of this place refreshed, you'll feel like you can fight the devil, no matter how big he is. But when you drag in and you drag out, that old fella's waiting for you on the outside, and he's going to pounce upon you one more time. And as I preached the last time I preached here, this is how he brings discouragement to people. Glory to God. Why would you want to go through a form? Glory to God. I sure would hate it to go home in the afternoon and Judy does the cooking. I'm not a cook in my house. I sure would hate it. She'd put plates and forks and spoons and a cup in front of me and said, now help yourself. Think about it. No, I like it when she puts it on my plate and sets it in front of me. All I got to do is pick my fork up. Glory to God. Can I tell you, it's the same way spiritually. If you're come here to worship God, God will bring the food. All you got to do is reach out and receive it. Glory to God. Would you not like to see our church packed out one more time with everybody worshiping God, with everybody exalting the name of Jesus, with everybody not concerned, glory to God, about getting out of church and going? I used to pass a little church and I told my people, I said, you know why I preach so long this morning? And no offense to any other denomination. I said, I preach long enough so the Baptists can eat and get out of your way at the restaurant. Glory to God. Think about it. I hadn't even got to my outline hardly. Glory to God. We're talking about worship. Glory to God. Without worship, without people worshiping God, we become weak and subject to defeat. And can I tell you, this is why Satan does everything he can to hinder people from worshiping God. This is why he will give you all kinds of reasons not to come to church, not to come and worship God. Glory to God. We sing with feeling. We have come into this house. We've gathered in his name to worship him. So, beloved, I ask you, is this why we come to church? You should ask yourself, why did I come to church tonight? Every time you come into the house of God, that should be your main purpose. You should come to worship God. You should come to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. You should come to give him thanks. Glory to God. Can I tell you, without him, we would not be here. Glory to God. I remember as a teenage boy, many times I could have been killed, but God kept me till I gave my heart to God. And through the years, God has kept me. It is God that's blessing you. God's enabling you that you have food to eat, shelter, glory to God. You're not laying out in the street somewhere with no home to live in, not knowing where you're going to get your next meal. I'm sure all of us have a cabinet full of food. And beloved, can I tell you, Jesus is the reason, and we don't want to come to church and worship him. God help us. Glory to God. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this or not. Maybe next month I can finish it. If I don't tonight, glory to God. Can I tell you, this is how everybody should gather into the sanctuary of the Lord. But unfortunately, this isn't why everybody comes. They don't come to worship God. Glory to God. But again, worship. If you don't get anything else out of the message, remember this one little sentence. Worship is to the soul what water is to the parched soul. And I want to put a plug in. We have revival scheduled in February. We ought to already be praying for revival. Glory to God. Not a series of sermons. When I used to preach revivals, I was more emotional then than I am now. I ran and jumped, run the pews and run out of the church and never would say glory to God. But I always told people my first night, don't judge this revival on how much we shout in it. I said, you judge revival that when I'm gone 2 weeks from now and everybody that's supposed to God bless will still be there for the pastor. Glory to God. That's revival. And that's what we need at the Thomasville Church of God. We need a real revival. Glory to God. That when our pastor stands, he won't see all these empty pews, but we'll show him that we love him. And by showing him that we love him, we're showing God that we love him even more. I have 30 minutes to run through 5 points that I want to share with you tonight. 5 ways Satan binds a worship service. He don't want you to worship God. He don't want your soul bubbling with joy. You know, he don't care how much people come to church. Glory to God, you can come and sit on the very front row. He just don't want you to get too involved. He don't want you to get dedicated to God. He don't want you to worship Jesus Christ. He don't want your soul bubbling with joy. He wants you to be satisfied with formality. Glory to God. 5 things, and I'll have to really go quickly. Preoccupation is one thing the Satan uses to bind a church service. How often have we sat in church during the worship service with our mind everywhere else under the sun? Can I tell you, when you sit in the house of God and you're thinking about other things, that is a trick of Satan. People can be shouting all around you and you don't know what's going on because you have lost your focus on God. People can be thinking about food, more especially on Sunday morning. If you sat on this pew, your pew, Sunday morning, and you're thinking, boy, I'm hungry, and you're trying to figure out which restaurant you want to go to, can I tell you, Satan is using that to hinder you, to bind you, and you're not going to really be worshiping God, and you're not going to be able to receive from God what God wants to give you. Can I tell you, what God wants to bless you with, it's better than what any restaurant in this town or any other town has to offer you. But sometimes we set with our minds on food. Glory to God. Sometimes, and this should never be, glory to God, or something I'll never be able to comprehend, how two people that loves one another sometimes just don't agree on everything. So sometimes you may be sitting in the house of God thinking about the argument that you had with your family just before you left church. Think about it. And I'm going to tell you this with love in my heart. If you and your spouse have a little disagreement, glory to God, as I heard one preacher say, he said, my wife and I don't ever argue. We just have some loud discussions. So if you have loud discussions, can I tell you, before you come into the sanctuary, you ought to make it right. Glory to God. If you don't, that's going to hinder the worship because you're sitting there thinking, boy, I should have told her this, or I should have let her know who's the boss, or she should have said, he thinks he's the boss, but he don't really know what's going on. These are the things that Satan will put in your mind, and you'll lose your focus on God, and it will bind the worship service. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And I can tell you, beloved, when it comes time for church, everything can happen to you. Glory to God. Sometimes we sit in church and this is a terrible thing. Sometimes people sit in church and they wonder, what does people think about me? Glory to God. I wonder what they think about my outfit today. Do they realize I got a new hairdo? Or, you know, you're sad and you're concerned about what's people thinking about me. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we begin to, you know, want to impress people and do things. Glory to God. What does people think about me? Remember, we do not enter the house of the Lord to please others. We enter into the house of the Lord to please God. So you need to stop. Don't worry about what people's thinking about you. Glory to God. And you ought not to be thinking about other people. Can I tell you, don't matter to me if Sister Susie wears a red dress or a blue dress, if she's got a new hairdo or not. Glory to God. It don't matter to me if Brother Bob's wearing a suit or blue jeans. Glory to God. When we come to church, our focus ought to be on God. Our focus ought to be on worshiping the Lord, not checking out what everybody else is doing, not checking out what everybody else is wearing or how everybody else is acting. You ought to be thinking about the Lord. Glory to God. You ought to come say, Lord, I've come to worship you. Glory to God. You think about it. I grew up with a house full of kids. Glory to God. Them old farmers thought they needed a table full. Bunch of wee boys around that table. You know, I didn't care much about what my brothers was putting on their plate. It was what was going on mine. Glory to God. And I've used this phrase a lot. When that chicken plate was being passed, if you weren't in your place, you might not get your piece of chicken. So we need to find our place in the house of the Lord, focus on God, and be ready to worship Him. Glory to God. Will you not agree with me that Satan uses this and that binds the service? If you're sitting there and you're seeing what people are doing, can I tell you, we should all be doing the same thing. That's worshiping God. Glory to God. We aren't all alike, beloved. You think about it. There's eight of we kids. I had five brothers and two sisters. And I asked my mother one time, I said, I got five brothers. How in the world can we be so different? My mother said, I don't know, but all of you have the same daddy. Glory to God. So we're different. We worship different. So what we need to do is get our focus on God. Glory to God. I may have to unplug the clock. Glory to God. What we need to realize was on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. There were no disinterested or preoccupied people in attendance. The entire attention was upon worshiping God and obeying God. If that had division, I don't believe the Spirit of God would have came, but they were all in one accord. And that's how we need to come into the house of God and be in one accord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You know, that same requirement is for the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord today. My heart's desire, and I know that our pastor's burning in his heart. Would I love to see one more time our altars filled with people worshiping God, see people slain in the Spirit and people sick in the Spirit of God and being baptized in the Holy Spirit and seeing great things taking place in the house of God. That's point one, and I'm going to cut it short. Glory to God. I could have made a series of sermons, but I never know what I'm going to preach again. Prayerlessness. It's something that Satan uses to bind the service. If Satan can keep God's people from praying, the worship services become mere form and rituals. Many are the tactics used by the devil to keep you from praying. You know, if you feel led to pray, the devil's going to say, you need to be vacuuming the floor. You got dishes stacked up in there. The yard needs to be mowed. The car hasn't been washed. Little Johnny needs some attention. The devil will offer you all kinds of excuses. But can I tell you, we need to put those excuses aside and we need to pray and seek God. Can I tell you, God is a great God. My mother got saved listening to a man on the radio, and this is what she said. She was listening to the preacher sweeping the floor, and she said, the preacher said, "Hey, lady, you with a broom in your hand, I'm talking to you." My mother said, "I dropped that thing and hit the floor and accepted Christ into her heart." Glory to God. So get rid of the broom if it's keeping you from praying. Prayerlessness will keep people, will hinder the working of the service. You see, Satan fears prayer. That's why he attempts to hinder it in every possible way. Because when you pray, you're bringing the Spirit of God. And the devil can't stand or he can't stay where the Spirit of the Lord is. When the power of God shows up, the devil's got to leave. Think about it. Glory to God. I'm afraid too many want to bring the devil in and let him sit beside of him. Can I tell you, I don't want the fellow to follow me into the house of God. I want to shake my fist at him all the time. Prayer brings you closer to God. I grew up with a praying mama and a praying daddy. They prayed all the time. Glory to God, and people would come from the church, different churches, glory to God, different times at night, and get my mother and daddy to pray for them. Some of them said they would rather come to their house for prayer than to go to a doctor. Glory to God. Thank God. Prayer changes things. And I believe we ought to all line up with our pastor and start praying more for our church. Become a prayer ambassador as he is trying to get us to do. Glory to God. You see, prayer prepares us for worship. Prayer tunes us in to God. We become aware and sensitive to his prompting and are able to move with the flow of his Spirit. Sometimes we miss out because we aren't in tune with God. We need to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. When I pastored that little church, there were a lot of times I folded my outline up and took it home. Because the Spirit of God got to moving, and people got to praying, people got to worshiping God, and people testified of healings. Glory to God. We need to pray, church, like never before. You think about it. When I was a boy, them old folks would pray before church. Glory to God. Can I tell you, back then, churches lasted a long time. Now, church, we want it 1 hour. Can I tell you, if you're not in tune with God, you don't have much time to pump or prime. Remember them old pumps when you used to have to prime them things to get them to pump and work? Glory to God, an hour's not enough time for some people if you got to pump them up so they're in tune with God. So what do we ought to do? Stay in your prayer closet. Seek God. When you walk through the door, you're already in tune with God. The pastor won't have to try to prime and pump to get you excited. When he begins to preach to you the Word of God, you can begin to feel the flow of the Spirit of God, and you can worship God. Thank you, Lord. I said I didn't know that this would be a shouting sermon, just some things that I feel in my heart with love that I want to share. Glory to God. And I'm skipping way down. I want to talk about something else that hinders, and that's pride. Pride is a strange disease. It makes everybody sick but the person who has it. Think about it. A pride person is always looking down on things and other people. They exalt themselves. As long as one is looking down, he can't see anything above him. And he can easily miss out on the higher and better aspects of life. It is certainly clear from Scripture that God hates pride. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 8:13, pride and arrogance I hate. Pride builds a wall and puts distance between the worshiper and the one to be worshipped. Glory to God. It takes prayer to control pride. Can I tell you tonight, a person that prays, glory to God, you don't see them strutting. Think about it. When you're staying in tune with God, you realize I'm a nobody. Glory to God, and without God, I'm nothing. Glory to God, it is a person with pride who walks and who feels that they're better than you are. Glory to God, a little country boy like me, who's going to want to associate with a little country boy like you, and they'll hold their heads up high. Glory to God. If you stay in tune with God, you won't strut around like you're somebody. You will walk around realizing you're a nobody. Glory to God, but you've just been saved by the grace of God. And all that you are and all that you have is because of Him. And without Him, you will not have anything. Glory to God. Will you not agree with me, church? We ought to pray more than we do. Glory to God. I have always been opposite because of a barefoot country boy. I thought everybody was above me anyway. Glory to God. Pride will bind the moving of God. And I am skipping a whole lot because I want to touch on all of these. And I'm running out of time. Prejudice is something else that will bind the worship service. Prejudice can certainly bind a worship service. Satan has used this tool many times to hinder the saints in worship of God. To have prejudice simply means one has prejudged someone or something without sufficient facts to make an accurate judgment. Glory to God. For so long, many have entered the church with prejudice towards others, and not just racial prejudice. There are many kinds of prejudice exercised in a worship service. People will wrongfully prejudge someone in the church without cause or concern. When these prejudiced ones see those in church who don't fit into their predetermined mold, they immediately judge their spiritual condition as being some way inferior to theirs. Glory to God. Can I tell you tonight, church, we need to leave the judging to God. Everybody doesn't worship God the same way. I have always been emotional. I've always been loud. But some people can sit on the pew, just lift their hands. Some people can sit on the pew and just cry. So you see, tonight it doesn't matter how you're worshiping God, but when you have pride and all of this in your heart, you feel like it's my way or it's no way. Can I tell you, I've come through the school of hard knocks as a young man, when I was pre-programmed. I always told folks that we were the best. And I'm going to tell you, when I was a young man, I was in the PH church. My brother was in the Church of God. I said, brother, your church is good, but our church is above your church. I thought we were the best. And if you wanted the best, you ought to come to ours. But can I tell you, beloved, the name of the church don't matter. Glory to God. My son went for a while in a Baptist church, and someone said, what do you think about your son going there? I said, if he can get to heaven through the Baptist church, let him go that way. Glory to God. We don't need to feel pride that we're the best. We need to all feel that we're God's children and we're all equal. Glory to God. As the old saying is, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Glory to God. We need to get the big guys and the little U's out of our system. Glory to God. If your neighbor wants to jump, let them jump. If you don't want to jump, just so you're praising God. That's the important thing. You worship God like you can bring the presence of God into your being. We all know, beloved, most of us are in my bracket. Those old saints used to shout up and down the aisles. Them women would shout and sling the hairpins out. Glory to God. And when I was a boy, I loved it because they stayed forever around the altars. And my mother and daddy were so involved to worship in God. They didn't see we boys all the way at the back doing things we shouldn't be doing. Thank you, Lord. We don't need prejudice in the house of God. Because, can I tell you, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God knows what's in the heart. Glory to God. So I've learned this lesson. I used to be very, very strict. And I used to just skin people alive. And I've learned skinning people is not what God called me to do. God called me to preach the word. Preach the word. And I've learned that people that I preach to, they belong to God. Glory to God. They're God's people. And it's not up to me to tell you, you know, you got to line up just like me or you aren't right. Glory to God. So prejudice needs to be done away with, crucified. Glory to God. You see, it is the responsibility of every believer to go to the house of God with express purpose and desire to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Therefore, prejudice must be cast aside and crucified. I'm cutting it short. This is my last point, and I'm going to try to get it in. Presumption is something the devil uses to bind the worship service. Presumption has to do with overstepping, taken for granted. To have effect, productive worship services, God must be present. You can hoop and holler and jump and run, but if God's not in it, you aren't going to be blessed spiritually. You can run until you can't hardly go, but if God is not there, you aren't going to be blessed. So to be blessed in our worship, we need the presence of God in our house. We must desire to experience the presence of the Lord more than anything. When we desire God's presence more than anything, God's going to show up. And when God shows up, great things are going to take place. Glory to God. We must prepare the way of the Lord rather than presume that he will show up. Can I tell you, it don't matter what name you put on the shingle and hang outside. We can come to this church and say, hey, we're a Pentecostal church. We're the church of God. God is going to be there. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter about the name. Glory to God, just because you're a Pentecostal church, there is no guarantee that God is going to be in the midst. We've got to prepare, glory to God, for the presence of God to come into our midst. Glory to God. Just a couple of three things here I want to share with you. Glory to God. Preparing the way means that the crooked places must be made straight. That all sin be removed from the camp. Remember when Israel went up a small band to the little city of Ai, they could not defeat it. And the reason for it, God told Moses, there's sin in the camp. So we got to get sin out of the camp. Whatever it takes to prepare for and ensure the presence of God, it in our midst should willingly be done. When the preparation is complete, there will be a revelation of the glory of Jehovah God. And this is what I'm hungering for, the revelation of Jehovah God. So we need to prepare. Glory to God, so God will come. Can I tell you, when God shows up, you'll see the lost getting saved. You'll see those sitting on the pews. Beloved, I can remember being under conviction and we had good pews because I gripped the pews just as hard as I could and my heart pounding out of my chest and not wanting to go forward. And I was hard-headed. I said, Lord, if you want me to get saved, send somebody to get me. So you know what he done? He sent somebody. And they got me, glory to God, and they walked with me to the altar, and I fell in the altar, glory to God, and gave my heart to God. When God shows up, beloved, we can see the backslider coming home. We can see people that's discouraged becoming encouraged. We can see people that are sick being healed. Wouldn't it be great, beloved, we could see the miracles of God. Glory to God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same, beloved, yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe we serve the same God that Peter and James and John served. I believe we have the same Holy Ghost that they had. And we have the same commission from God that we can cast out the demons. We can raise the dead. We can see the sick being healed. Glory to God. Would it not be great, beloved, if everybody coming to this church, we get such a hunger to worship God until when we come, it would be like heaven in this place. Glory to God. And you would feel like you were walking on holy ground. Glory to God. And you see the altars filled with people. Glory to God. And nobody in a hurry to get out of the house of God. Glory be to his holy name. And I tell you, when God is in the midst and God is moving, you're in no hurry. Glory to God. Think about it. He's better than T-bone steak. Glory to God. I love feeling the Lord. I love worshiping God. When I was a young man, I don't know what people thought. I grew up in the country. I've ran all the way across the fields, beloved, with my hands up over my head, praising and shouting and glorifying God. I don't know what people thought about me going by, and I didn't. I was feeling God so strong until I thought, surely, I'm getting ready to take my flight to glory. Glory to God. I would advise you to do it to your car today, but I had a 1954 DeSoto. I used to think that got me closer to heaven. I'd get up on the top of my car and jump up and down and glorify God. I'm afraid the car I got today, I may go down to the seat. Glory to God. We need to fall in love with God and worship Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. I cut out a whole lot tonight, but I hope I'm serving something that will be a blessing to all of us. We need a hunger, don't we? To worship God. Can I tell you, people that don't want to worship God today, I've often thought, Lord, what are they going to do when they get to heaven? The Bible says they are forever saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They are praising Him over there. They're glorifying Him over there. And can I tell you something, beloved? When we get over there, it won't be Church of God. It won't be PH Church. It won't be Baptist. It won't be Methodist. We're going to be just one great flock of sheep praising and glorifying God. Aren't you glad? Glory to God. Denomination is man-made. Glory to God. But if we can't worship God here, you're going to be out of place in heaven. Can I tell you, I don't want to be out of place in heaven. I want to walk up and down those streets of gold. I want to be able to glorify God. I want to be able to visit with people that I've known here in this world. Glory to God. I want to be able to worship God over there. In fact, in my younger days, I used to tell folks, I want Jesus one time. Let me run from one side of that city to the other. Glory to God. That's a long, long run. The only way I could do it is with that glorified body. I believe they're worshiping Him over there. We should be practicing. Glory to God. The choir comes, they practice so they can sing better. Glory to God. Any sport, they practice so they can do better. So we'll all be practicing worshiping God. We'll all be practicing praising Him. Glory to God. So when we get to heaven, we can just blend right in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got 2 minutes and counting. Glory to God. Aren't you glad I cut out a lot and I've learned to shorten it up? I shared this probably before, but all of us know when you get in our age bracket, you can repeat yourself. You know, it's all right. Glory to God. My dad used to tell me things over and over. And I wasn't like young folks today. The young folks say, well, you already told me that. I used to think, you know what, Dad, don't know how many times he told me that, but I act like he had never told me before. Glory to God. Now I lost what I was going to say. Glory to God. Maybe it wasn't necessary to say it. But I love the Lord tonight. I'm glad He loved me. Aren't you glad He loved you? Aren't you glad He didn't pass you by? Aren't you glad he wasn't like a lot of folks? If you don't come up to their standard, you just don't have it. Glory to God. So does it matter to God if you wear a suit, if you wear blue jeans? It don't matter to God if you like me, drive a cheap Ford, if you can drive a Cadillac. It don't matter to God if you live in a mansion on the side of the hill. Glory to God if you live in a little shack by the road. Beloved, these things don't mean anything to God. What matters to God is that you love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And every time you get an opportunity, you're going to worship Him and honor Him and praise Him. Don't you love Him tonight? I thank God that He first loved me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He loved you? Getting saved was the furthest thing from my mind. I'm a teenager. Who wants to get saved as a teenager? I wanted wildlife for a season. I wanted to do a lot of things out there. Glory to God. And I was so hard-headed, my dad said, boy, you're going to wind up in prison. You're so hard-headed. But you know what? He forgot about one day I was going to meet a man called Jesus. Jesus took the temper away from me, changed me completely. Glory to God. And the only time I've ever been in prison or jail is working in a ministry. Never been behind bars with them clinging and locking me up. And you know what? I don't be locked up now either. Prison is no place. Glory to God. Do you love God? By my watch, I got 30 seconds. Glory to God. I hope I've shared something that will be a blessing to you tonight. Glory to God. I hope that you can take something that I have shared and take it home with you. Build on it. Glory to God. And when Satan wants to hold you down and he wants to give you a bad day, you tell him, hold on, buddy. You hold on. Sunday morning's coming. Sunday morning's coming. And when Sunday morning comes, I'm going to walk right into the presence of God in a sanctuary where people are worshiping God. And this thing you're trying to put on me, I'm going to show you, old buddy, you aren't going to hinder me because I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep following God. That's what the psalmist David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for listening to me attentively tonight. And I thank Brother Green for giving me the opportunity. Over to God. Anybody got anything you'd like to say? When I used to pastor, we always had an altar service, but we don't have time for those, do we?